Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to Insights with Fritz Springmeier. Thank you for tuning in tonight to listen to a few of my thoughts on my inaugural show. During our time tonight, I'm going to discuss some highlights from this week's news and provide some useful commentary. I'm going to answer a question from my fans. What do I think of Trump? And then I have two interesting stories to tell. These are the rest of the story type stories like Paul Harvey, except it's Fritz, not Paul. So anyway, my friend, grab your coffee or whatever you want to drink and join me for the I don't want you just to hear news stories. You can go to other places for that. I want you to grow and learn from what happened. Life gives us lessons every day.
Live and learn. You have often heard me say that evil contains the seed of its own destruction. The Word of God teaches us exactly this. For instance, Psalms 34:21, evil shall slay the wicked. Psalms 9:15, in the net which they hid their own foot. In other words, give them enough rope, and they'll hang them. So here's a new story this week
with that poetic stuff. On Monday, the electors
of the Electoral College met and they finalized the threat to the electors of the Electoral College. And the Democrat justice should have been prosecuted for that, which is a criminal act. In spite of all these death threats, intimidation, Hillary Clinton suffered more attempted defects than any other candidate.
James Madison. In 1808. Some of her electors that tried to defect were replaced or told he was out of order. Yet four of her electors from Washington State did defect. Three for Colin Powell, one for the Sioux tribal leader, Faith Spotted Eagle. So indeed, the trap that she set for Trump snared herself. Biblical justice and action. If you just tuned in, I'm Fritz Springmeier, and I'll be your host for the next hour, broadcasting from Beautiful Oregon. I'm out here in the Beautiful Oregon. Let me give just a second because it's inspiring. You know, several times I've had out-of-state visitors with me who were discouraged, and then when I gave them a tour, of our beautiful old growth trees and our outstanding farmland, it took them right out of their depression. So, my friend, sometimes that's all it takes, just to change the scenery. Thanks for tuning in on this hectic pre-Christmas Friday night. I don't have to tell you how depressing news can be. So let's pretend for a moment that we could view this planet from Almighty God's perspective. What is He watching? God's word says that if there's anything noble and of good report, think on these things. Priority for us is to love Him and our fellow man. Along that line, studies have shown that the people that are most generous are the Christians. And you can't single out any denomination as being more generous. Although in terms of states, Utah, the capital of Mormondom, is the most generous with their time and money of any state. Bible-thumping states like Tennessee and Alabama are very generous. Do I hear an applaud out there from those states? While liberal states like Rhode Island and Massachusetts are the stingiest. But we're talking about generalities here. Almighty God is going to be paying attention to acts of kindness and love, the kind of news that's not going to get reported, And so when I give the rest of the story after the commentary on the news, I will give two true stories of kindness that changed the world. So you won't want to miss them. So stay tuned after we have the commercial break at the top of things. So now to the main worldly news story that I'm going to give this week, which comes from Breitscheidplatz, which is beside the famous ruins of the Kaiser Wilhelm Memorial Church in Berlin, Germany. Maybe you remember seeing a picture of a completely burned out cathedral in the middle of Berlin. It was never rebuilt after World War II. It was kept as a burned out ruin as a memorial to peace. If you want to look at what it looks like, my picture up there that goes with this radio show is showing it. Okay. I'm getting, the producer is saying that I'm muffled and then clear in and out. So I don't know what to do. I was forced to use the phone, and we have had all kinds of technical problems in trying to get me on the air. Obviously, they didn't want me to be on. And you know, all I can do is do my best, folks. Like I say, we've been having all kinds of technical problems today. And I'm going to stick with this phone. We will just have to hope that things clear up. So anyway, I was talking about how Massachusetts and Tennessee were the stingiest states. And then I was going to start talking to you about the news that's happened in the area of the Kaiser Wilhelm Memorial Church in Berlin, Germany. And the church was never rebuilt after World War II. It was kept as a burned-out ruin as a memorial to peace. It was a reminder to the German people in the world to love peace. I was just there at the Kaiser Wilhelm Memorial site in October as a tourist. So now we have a tragedy with someone who ISIS officially claims as an attack in their name, slaughtering Christmas shoppers at a memorial dedicated to peace. Wow. This Monday, 19 December, a Muslim associated with ISIS from Tunisia hijacked a large truck from its Polish driver and either shot his head or slit his throat. Different reports say different things. And then this hijacker drove it into the Christmas shoppers in the Christmas booth set up there in the plaza there at Kaiser Wilhelm Church. So this Muslim immigrant killed 12 and injured 48. Perhaps this tragedy may knock some sense into German voters. It's reported that Angela Merkel, the German chancellor, who I've pointed out is Illuminati and an advocate for their clergy plan to destroy Europe, she's advocated hard to bring in millions of Muslims into Germany. And it said she's finished politically. And by coincidence, when this tragic attack occurred, Merkel was attending a celebration for migrants. Well, for 8 years, we have watched Islamic terrorist attacks take place around the world and on our own shores, with the bloody, gory death toll rising day by day. Roughly, there's been 30,000 attacks since 9/11. And for 8 years, we've listened carefully as Obama addressed these horrific acts, studiously avoiding the words that so needed to be spoken, Islamic terror. Instead, Obama and his surrogate spoke of, quote, extremism, end quote, or terrorism, without any reference to Islam, or worse still, of, quote, workplace violence, end quote. Obama and his team would not even identify Nidal Malik Hassan, the 2009 Fort Hood mass murderer, as an Islamic terrorist, despite the fact that he identifies as a soldier of Allah, was mentored by a Muslim terrorist, Anwar al-Awlaki, whom the U.S. killed with a drone strike in Yemen. And he slaughtered our soldiers in cold blood by yelling out Allah's name, you know, Allah Akbar. No, this was called by Obama as an instance of, quote, workplace violence, end quote. This is not just perverse. It is utterly irresponsible, since it fails to acknowledge that we are not just combating people, we are combating an ideology. And if we can't even name the ideology, let alone describe it, we're certainly not going to be able to fight it. It's like refusing, my friend, to call Hitler and his SS Nazis. Interestingly, Obama and gang have no shortage of things to call Trump. It is politically correct to worry, oh, that might offend a Muslim. We have to have Muslim things in the White House, or they might be offended. We have to teach the Quran in public school, or they might be offended. Honestly, in my 48 years of being a Christian, I don't recall a single instance where somebody worried in this nation about offending Christians. In 1993, when I walked down the sidewalk on Hawthorne Boulevard near my house and militant gays passed out flyers, "Kill the Christians," no one called it a hate crime. No one worried that Christians would be offended. Okay, I'm getting feedback that I'm clear now. Well, that's good. I'm glad. I'm sure you are as a listener out there, too. Hopefully, my producer will give me some more feedback if I'm beginning to fade. So in 1988, Universal Studios came out with this film, Last Temptation of Christ, with Christ having sex with Mary Magdalene, and Christ is worrying about all these countless sins he's done and helping the Romans build crucifixes for other people. And then he's being sexually tempted in one scene by an androgynous child. You know, countless things that were offensive, very offensive to Christians. Did the public worry about offending Christians? No. So in August 1988, when they were first coming out with the film, I called Universal Studios to say I was offended by many scenes and dialogue in the movie, Last Temptation of Christ. I said Christ was the most important person in my life, and he meant a lot to me. And their portrayal of someone who meant a lot to me, hurt me. And I was protesting their insensitivity. You know how they reacted to me? They laughed. They thought it was funny a Christian was offended. But those same people who don't care about how Christians feel are now telling us that we are Islamophobes and that we need to bend over backwards to be sensitive to Muslims. So why are these very liberals who yell for feminist rights so supportive of Saudi Arabia? You know, I smell a hypocritical anti-Christ agenda here. If it smells like manure, I'm going to call it that. You know, these people are Christophobes, theophobes, Trumpophobes, you name it. You know, these are the real phobies. President-elect Trump this week, he did something Obama has failed to do in 8 years. He named the ideology that is killing Christians every day. President Trump, in response to the Berlin attacks that I was talking about, said, and I quote, "Our hearts and prayers are with the loved ones of the victims of today's horrifying terror attack in Berlin. Innocent civilians were murdered in the streets as they prepared to celebrate the Christmas holidays. ISIS and other Islamic terrorists continually slaughter Christians in their communities and places of worship as part of their global jihad," end quote. Oh, how beautiful. Isn't that wonderful? Finally, we have a president who will talk about the genocide of Christians around the globe. Hallelujah. Finally, we will have a president who will name the ideology that is causing all this terror, you know, hallelujah. The mainstream media and their socialist liberal audience are constantly broadcasting the false theme that Christians are the persecutors, never reporting how our brothers and sisters are undergoing horrific persecution in many countries. So before I make some more commentary on President Trump, let's go back to this tragedy at the Peace Memorial Plaza, which was full of Christmas shoppers. These kind of events are opportunities, my friend, for growth, spiritual growth. This is where the mainstream media or even alternative media let us down. Stuff happens, my friend. I don't have to tell you that. One of my close brothers in Christ, even today, and when I get done with my broadcast, I'm going to be commiserating with him because his mother's dying, you know. Stuff happens, and I feel it. And I feel you out there too, the ones that stay in contact with me every day. You know, so when these tragedies happen, we can learn to find divine wisdom and apply it to our lives, or we can fall into bitterness and hate. What do we want? You know, do we want wisdom from above or wisdom from below? We can't control these crises from happening, but we can control our choices in how we react. Now, many of the saints over the years, and I'm not telling you anything that you don't know, they've shed countless tears and they've seasoned their prayers with noble teardrops. God's word says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. I love that verse. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. In fact, God's word at Joel chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, encourage us to pray that when we pray, we should do it with all our heart and with weeping. You know, feeling sad and terrible for a terrible tragedy, it's okay, my friend. It's contrary to the counsel of God for us to think that mourning is something wrong. I remember at Columbine years ago where they sent in shrinks to keep the children from mourning. Like mourning is improper behavior. We want to embrace grief rather than manage it. We want to weep with those who weep. There is no pressure from God for us to feel better, only from society, which is impatient with grief. God's prophet was ordered to, quote, comfort. So let's go back and look at President Trump. Love him or hate him, President Trump is our president. Many people have asked me, is he an insider? And I have said, yes. Victims of trauma-based mind control years ago reported to me that he was an abuser. Is he a Freemason? Some think so, but I have seen nothing to confirm that. When a Freemason was asked if Trump was one of them, he said no. And I think he would have said yes if he was. The fraternity would be proud if Trump was one of them, but they're not claiming him as a member. Is President Trump a new Christian? All right, James Dobson and some others say so. Kenneth Copeland anointed Trump. Copeland had said that the Reformation is over for Protestants and that now all Christians are Roman Catholics. If Trump has given his heart to Christ, then he obviously is a baby Christian and is deserving of a lot of slack from other Christians. Whether President Trump is or isn't a Christian, you know, it's not mine to judge. It's not yours to judge. That's God's business. We can look at his fruit. We can look at what he's accomplishing in his administration. But if he's given his heart to Christ, you know, God's the one that's going to see whether he's sincere or not. He's definitely said that he dislikes the way Christians have been persecuted in America, and he wants to reinvigorate our culture with an increased public presence of Christianity and its values. Hallelujah. His pick of Mike Pence was meant to reflect that, Pence being a family man and for Christian values. Of course, Pence is also the kind of Christian that Copeland would feel comfortable with, i.e., Roman Catholic. But, you know, I'm less concerned with labels than, you know, the labels that people have on their jackets. And I'm more concerned with how they will perform their government duties to the American people. Trump already has been saving thousands of jobs for Americans even before becoming president. In line with President Trump's statements to repeal Obama's numerous executive orders. Oh, okay. It's coming across good. Okay. Thanks, Lisa, for the feedback. You know, so President Trump is planning to repeal Obama's numerous executive orders and Obama's regulatory overreach. So Trump's team is preparing the first executive order of President Trump to stop the overregulation that, okay, just a second here. Okay, back here with you. Let's see, I was talking about Trump was going to stop the overreach of Obama, and his team is preparing the first executive order for him to stop the overregulation that is preventing the Alaskan mining industry to mine what is arguably the greatest mother lode of gold in the world. The lode is estimated at 107 million ounces, which is worth, my friend, $128 billion worth of gold. So 3,000 mining jobs will be created when the overregulation is rolled back by Trump's first executive order. Trump plans to keep his promises to see the working people and the silent majority who rose up and got him elected. So let's take a quick look at some of his competent insiders who he has tapped to work for his administration. These are recent. Okay. Excuse me. I was getting another message there. Okay. So let's look at some of these people that he has tapped to work for his administration. Perhaps the most significant appointment President Trump's made this week was Kellyanne Conway. That's right. This so-called SOB misogynist that supposedly hates women came up with a special new position for a successful, talented campaign manager. She's going to be his counselor, his primary advisor. You know how a leader's advisor is the power behind the throne. This woman is talented and excels at everything she does. She was his official spokesperson during the campaign. Here in just a few minutes, Lisa, I'm going to give a break. Let me finish talking about Kellyanne Conway, and then we will go and do for Truth Emerges. They have a commercial that they're going to give. So Kellyanne Conway was Trump's official spokesperson during the campaign. She's totally unflappable. She knows what to say, how to say it, when to say it. And she got her work ethic from growing up on a blueberry farm. Ed, don't you love that? And she's the first woman in history to lead a successful presidential campaign. So now we are going to break for a commercial.
Hello everyone, my name is Suzanne Marr and I'm founder of Bye Bye Blue Sky, and we have a passion for the planet. Bye Bye Blue Sky is a dedicated global public environmental movement who seeks to be a voice for all living creatures and ecosystems, and to protect human health and safeguard the natural environment, air, water, and land which our sustenance depends. We use education, peaceful protest, and creative communication to expose one of the world's largest and most significant ecological threats and preeminent disasters, commonly known as climate engineering or chemtrails. Please visit our website, byebyebluesky.com, and learn the truth about the sinister aerosol spraying. There are many media articles, patents, government white papers, which are available on our site, which attest to these programs. We also have awareness items, bumper stickers, t-shirts, which can be purchased, and brochures and business cards, which can be downloaded and distributed. There are a number of ongoing Bye Bye Blue Sky GoFundMe billboard campaigns in North America. The link's available on our website. I encourage everyone to donate to these billboards. A few dollars can save the planet. Please also join Bye Bye Blue Sky on our Facebook page of the same name and meet dedicated and like minds. Thank you.
Well, I pulled out of Pittsburgh, rolling down that eastern seaboard. I got my diesel wound up and she's running like I never before.
Hey folks, this is The Mouth, and if you need something moved, you need to go through Dadco Transportation. Family owned and operated, Dadco Transportation specializes in pad wrap fixtures to retail stores throughout the country, as well as furniture transportation, pad trap and box furniture from California to Arizona to all points east. Be it truckload, LTL, rollout, exclusive use, or expedited, Dadco is here to service their clients safely, efficiently, and quickly. So if you need something moved within the continental U.S., contact Dadco Transportation at 609-296-9121 or contact them directly at dadcotrans.com. That's dadcotrans.com.
But I can never make believe it's all right. 6 days on the road and I'm gonna make it home tonight.
Easy money. Easy money.
Who is getting your money? If you are being hijacked by corruption in your government, you will quickly realize that you are stuck with no way out. Find out how your life, family, and assets can be stolen from you while you are the one paying for it. Join me, Debbie Carroll, at the Fourth Branch, The Truth Emerges, on Blog Talk Radio, Thursday nights from 6 to 8 Pacific Time. We need everyone on board to understand what is happening and put a stop to this evil corruption.
Aid is all worthless. It doesn't do any good for most of the people. You take money from poor people in this country and you end up giving it to rich people in poor countries. And they're used as weapons of war, so you accomplish nothing. We should export some principles about free markets and sound money, and maybe they could produce some of their own wealth. But this whole idea of talking about the endless wars and the endless foreign aid, it seems like nobody cares about the budget. I mean, we're in big trouble, and nobody wants to cut anything. So if you're going to keep sending foreign aid overseas and these endless wars that you don't have to declare and go into Libya without even consulting with the Congress, the biggest threat to our national security is our financial condition. And this is just aggravating it.
Governor Romney.
Congressman Paul, what they're doing is cutting $1 trillion out of the defense budget. They're cutting $1 trillion out of the defense budget, which just happens to equal the $1 trillion they're putting into Obamacare. And so what you have is a president that has a priority of spending us into bankruptcy, but he's not just spending us into bankruptcy, he's spending the money foolishly. We need to protect America and protect our troops and our military and stop the idea of Obamacare. Right. That's the best way to save money, not the military.
Right. But hold on 1 second, because Ron Paul wants to respond to that point.
Well, they're not cutting anything out of anything. All this talk is just talk. Believe me. They're nibbling away at baseline budgeting as automatic increases. There's nothing cut against the military, and the people on the Hill are nearly hysterical because the budget isn't going up as rapidly as they wanted to. It's a road to disaster. We better wake up.
Oh, okay.
Okay. That was Ron Paul. Well, before I get back to talking about Trump and his appointments, there may be some of you that are new to who I am, or some of you have not gone to my website, pentracks.com. My blog or website is pen, like you would write with, and tracks, like car wheels would leave in the snow. So pentracks.com is my site. And if you go there to pentracks.com, to the March 2016 link of articles, it will take you to the links that will allow you to read about 800 of my articles I've written in the last few years. And for anyone who just tuned in, you're listening to Fritz Springmeier, and this is Insights with Fritz Springmeier, and with the Truth Emerges broadcast. And so that's my website, and that's where you can get a lot more information on the kinds of subjects that I write about. There's a number of my very important books on there, like Bloodlines of the Illuminati and the Illuminati Formula Used to Create an Undetectable Total Mind Controlled Slave, and its sequel, Deeper Insights, and Be Wise as Serpents. So I encourage you, if you're wanting to know what's going on, to get those books, because they give the inside details on a lot of important things that, of course, I'm not going to be discussing them tonight. Tonight we're discussing Trump and his appointments. And we just got through before the break discussing Kellyanne Conway, who's quite a significant person, and it's significant that she's going to be Trump's advisor, the power behind the throne. And another woman that he's appointed is Kathleen McFarland. She's known as KT, and she was made Trump's deputy national security advisor. She's another clever woman who knows how to say the right things, but she's also an insider, and she was Kissinger's right-hand aide. Katie McFarland said this about Trump, and I quote this last week: "The American people chose Donald J. Trump to lead them for a reason. He has the courage, brilliance, and energy to make America great again. And nobody has called foreign policy right more than President-elect Trump. And he gets no credit for it. I'm honored and humbled that he has asked me to be part of his team." You know, I'm going to talk something right now. The American people indeed elected Trump. It was you people out there that went to and stood at the rallies. You know, some of you went repeatedly to four or five rallies. You stood there shoulder to shoulder with other people, unable to go to the restroom, but because you wanted to support change in this country. So anyway, we're seeing some change already, even before he's taken office. But as I go through and look at the people he's appointing, you know, they're definitely competent, but they're definitely insiders. And so here's another one, Elaine Lin Chao. And he has her for transportation secretary. And Elaine Chao, she's got quite a remarkable string of top positions that she's held. She's head of Peace Corps, president and chief executive officer of United Way. She's Bush Jr. Secretary of Labor for 8 years. She's of Chinese descent. She became an American citizen at 19. For some reason, check this out, no one mentions or calls her by her last name, which is McConnell. They call her by her Chinese birth name, Chow. But she's married to the Senate Majority Leader, Mitch McConnell, who received a gift somewhere between $5 and $25 million from Elaine's father, James Chow, who's the owner of a shipping fleet, some of the world's largest bulk carriers, philanthropist. Mitch McConnell gets my attention because he's buddies with Ambassador Lee of Red China. And Mitch has tried to get American politicians to soften their condemnation of Chinese human rights violations. If Elaine's father, James, did not have such a secretive set of companies that hide so much, I might not be so suspicious of him, but the ownership and the paperwork on his ships is very secretive. And one of them was caught in Colombia carrying 90 pounds of cocaine hidden in its cargo of coal. Okay, moving on. Like I say, Trump's appointees are no doubt competent people, but they're clearly insiders. Let's look at one more. Because these are all people that we're going to be seeing in the news. You know, one of my favorites is ex-four-star general James Mattis, who is a Marine general, who's going to be Secretary of Defense. He's a soldier. He'll do our military right. He led the 1st Marine Division in attacking Iraq in 23 and is well-respected by many in the military, as well as civilians. Of course, the liberal media hates him. He's outspoken, sort of like Patton, but then like Patton, he gets the job done. And you can expect the elite and their prostitutes and Hollyweird to throw every obstacle they can to impede President Trump's success. But the more they try, the more they try to sabotage and lie, the less credibility they are going to have with the American people. And even many liberals will be happy when Trump repeals Obamacare. So Vladimir Putin, today or yesterday, said in his, it was yesterday, in his annual news conference that he was totally unfazed by President-elect Donald Trump's plans to boost the U.S. nuclear arsenal. Putin and Trump are going to get along great. Putin and Trump are both nationalists. They're on the same page. Putin praised Trump for being in touch with the U.S. public opinion, and he called the Democrats sore election losers who didn't live up to their name. Putin also says that his own modernization of Russia's military has been misunderstood by the West, and he has no problem with the United States being the strongest force in the world. To quote Putin, quote, in the course of his election campaign, he, meaning Trump, spoke about the necessity of strengthening the U.S. nuclear arsenal and strengthening the armed forces. There's nothing unusual here, end quote. Meanwhile, all those around the world who listen to mainstream media, and believe me, when I was in Europe, I listened to what the Europeans thought, the ones that listened to their mainstream media, and they all think Trump wants to go to war against Putin and will drag the world into a World War III. It's absolutely criminal how the mainstream media is allowed to get away with such slanderous, fear-mongering lies. Well, now I think I'm going to tell you some stories. Let's do some stories here. And if I still have time, you know, I'm just winging this here, my friends. And if we still have some time, I will discuss some other things that are on my heart that are newsworthy. But let's do a story. Let me tell you a story. He was a boy in Australia who had been attacked and had his face badly mutilated. His battered appearance made him a fright to see, and he was suicidal. Before he ended his life, he wandered into a church during after hours. And the minister of the church decided to talk with this stray boy and encourage him. The minister happened to be friends with the best plastic, with the best plastic surgeon in the country and got his plastic surgeon friend to give the boy a reconstructed face gratis. This is why this boy has always felt so much gratitude to Christ and the church that saved his life. He was just a discouraged, unknown, unpopular, ugly boy back then, but you know him as one of the greatest actors. Indeed, for directing and producing Braveheart and The Passion of Christ, he is my favorite actor. I also liked his performance in the movie The Patriot, set in the American Revolution. You know him as Mel Gibson, and now you know the rest of the story. Let's do another story here. I told you I was going to give you some are true that ended with changing the world for the better. Here's another one. His name was Fleming. He was just a poor Scottish farmer. And one day, while trying to eke out a living for his family, he heard a cry for help coming from a nearby bog. He dropped his tools and ran to the bog. There, mired to his waist in black muck, was a terrified boy, screaming and struggling to free himself. Farmer Fleming saved the lad from what could have been a slow and terrifying death. The next day, a fancy carriage pulled up to the Scotsman's sparse surroundings. An elegantly dressed nobleman stepped out and introduced himself as the father of the boy that Farmer Fleming had saved. "I want to repay you," said the nobleman. "You saved my son's life." "Nah, I can't accept payment for what I did," the Scottish farmer replied, waving off the offer. At that moment, the farmer's own son came to the door of the family's, you know, broken-down hovel. "Is that your son?" the nobleman asked. "Yes," the farmer replied proudly. "Hey, I'll make you a deal. Let me take him and give him a good education. If the lad is anything like his father, he'll grow to be a man you can be proud of." And that's what happened. That's what he did. In time, Farmer Fleming's son graduated from St. Mary's Hospital Medical School in London, and he went on to become known. He is now known as Sir Alexander Fleming, who was the discoverer of penicillin. Now, years afterward, the nobleman's son was stricken with pneumonia. And what saved the son? Penicillin. The name of that nobleman? Lord Randolph Churchill. His son's name? Sir Winston Churchill. So what goes around comes around. And now you know the rest of the story. Pretty good, huh? So I see that I still have at least 15 more minutes, which I will use to good use. You know, another place that I visited besides the Peace Memorial, the church that was the Peace Memorial, I went to Rosenstrasse, where they have a number of memorials, statues, and so forth. And that was the site where there was a spontaneous protest back in February 1943. The Gestapo and the SS in Berlin were rounding up the last 10,000 Jews. They were taking them right out of the factories where these Jews were working. The Jews were thinking, okay, if I keep my nose clean and I'm working in a factory to help the German government, nobody's going to touch me. You know, I'm doing valuable work. They're going to spare me. You know, so this operation was called Fabrik Action, meaning the factory action. And well, guess what? They got rounded up, but the German wives of these Jews and a lot of other women, they gathered outside of the SS building, and they did a spontaneous protest. And this lasted for days until the Nazi hierarchy was so flabbergasted by this whole thing. They had
not expected anything like this. And this was right after Stalingrad, and they were really sensitive about the morale of the German people, and everybody in Germany could hear this protest. They turned around and they released all of the 10,000 Jews that they had picked up that they were going to take to Auschwitz. They even went to Auschwitz and brought some of the Jews in Auschwitz that had already been shipped there, brought them back and released them. And so some of these people actually, a good number of them survived the war because of the spontaneous protest. So I say that because so oftentimes people wonder, well, what can we do? You know, you can't do anything. Well, people, you take heart. What we've seen this year is encouraging. It was the people, the American people, standing up and saying, you know, we're tired of this. We want a change. We're tired of being taken into this new world order. And so we managed as a people, and we have to continue working. The battle's not won. We managed to get Donald Trump elected because we wanted change, you know. Now, speaking for myself, I'm going to be as sincere and honest on these radio broadcasts as I can be. But I'm biased. I'm biased for justice. I'm biased for liberty. I'm biased for life. I'm biased for Christ, you know. And I'm against certain things. I'm against censorship. I'm against banksters. I'm against totalitarianism, you know. So, yeah, I'm not neutral, you know. You know, I have values, and that's the way it should be. And hopefully my listeners are like-minded, you know. So what are we dealing with when we're dealing with this controlled media? You know, I talk to people about it being a controlled media, and this one big church minister, he came unglued. He goes, well, I worked for ABC and nobody told me what to do. I go, whoa, whoa, whoa. I said, let me ask you a question. I said, if you did something that was out of line with what your boss's expectations were, what would happen? Wouldn't you get fired if you did something that was out of line? And he kind of, you know, sheepishly agreed with me. Yeah. Okay. Well, maybe somebody didn't tell him exactly what to say because they knew that he was going to say the right things. But the minute that he did something wrong, like Kanye West, well, off you go for your reprogramming, you know? So just who are we looking at when we're talking about the establishment media? There's only six big corporations that are controlling American media. You know, you got Time Warner, and they've got a large part of the internet, HBO, CNN, Time Warner Cable. You got Disney, and Disney, they turn out Miramax films, which are worse than the Disney movies that they turn out. And Disney also has ABC and the History Channel, okay? Well, why do I mention the History Channel? It's because just today there was somebody that was talking to me about how there's been many years of this History Channel program where they talk about the aliens. And they constantly talk up about the aliens are our good friends, how the aliens are going to help solve our problems. And they constantly are promoting all of this New Age stuff. Okay, and then also the History Channel has Ancient Aliens, another program. So they got all these alien programs. I believe that this is going to be one of the biggest deceptions that they're bringing down the pike, you know. And so I recently wrote an article. Some of you who go on to Facebook, I'm sure, remember it. And by the way, interrupting my train of thought, I want to put in a plug
if you enjoy the kind of things that I'm saying and you're not familiar with me, you know, you can go to Facebook, and every day I try to write, if I have time, a powerful article. So you can read some really powerful information if you and it's open to the public. I let anybody read my articles. And if there's some reason why, I'll even make you a friend. But one of my articles recently was, I entitled it Night of the Thousand Stars, because that was a term that some insider used for this mock alien invasion. And I discussed the Benenson Strategy Group. You know, Benenson Strategy Group was hired by Hillary to save her doomed campaign. And Joel Benenson, who's in Washington, D.C. area, he wrote a report that WikiLeaks gave out, released, and it talked about how they realized they were losing the election, and that the only thing that they had found that would keep Trump voters away from the polls was to have a mock alien invasion. And, you know, they polled Trump supporters, you know, whether a HAARP disaster would work, whether Zika apocalypse would work, whether civil unrest, stage riots would work. None of those things were going to work, you know. So they actually were considering doing, and they referred to this, they referred to it as Operation Firesign. Well, what's Operation Firesign? Operation Firesign is the upgraded version of Operation Bluebeam. And some of you remember Serge Monast in 1994 coming out about Operation Bluebeam. I mean, there were some others of us before that time that were exposing a mock alien invasion. William Cooper, Betty J. Mills, General Edward Lansdale. But he's the one who gave a name to it. Unfortunately, he got suicided, like a number of my friends have. And Lord willing, you know, I'll be continuing to be here doing what I've done the last 30 years, exposing these kind of things. But Bill Cooper was saying before he was killed, Bill Cooper had said for a number of years that when this mock alien invasion comes, it will probably come right on the heels of a whole bunch of things happening, you know, a massive earthquake, terrorist bombs, World War III breaking out, stock markets collapsing, shortages, and then the next thing you know, here come the aliens to rescue us. Oh, great. That's all we need. And so Disney's channel and their History Channel and Disney in the theme parks also, are promoting this whole alien deception. And it's been going on for a long time. Our government's been promoting it. It's the thing of it is this is a way to get the world to hand over the reins of power. You know, how many, if you ask people out in the street, would you like demons to run the world? Would you like fallen angels to run the world? You're going to say, are you crazy? No way. You know, but if you ask them, hey, would you like some enlightened race of aliens that's half million years more evolved than us to run things? They're like, yeah, let's do it. You know, humans can't run their affairs. Humans can't even raise kids. You know, we're totally dysfunctional, you know? So yeah, they've set it up. They've set it up. And unfortunately, some of the Illuminati kingpins have even bragged to me about this. You know, this is what they're going to do. And they're even willing to brag about it because they don't think that anything can stop them. You know, so we're going to be continued to be tested by our Lord, you know, and just remember that air travels, you know, false information travels on the same information highways as truth, but everything that looks like gold isn't. You know, we're going to get a lot of flack. The alternative media has been getting a lot of flack even this last week. They're wanting to shut us down. So while we can, you know, I'm going to continue doing these broadcasts. I'm going to continue writing my hard-hitting articles, and I'm going to continue encouraging all of you, like the Word of God says, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. That's worth repeating. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. You know, and so get in touch with your inner brave heart, and get out there and help us in this battle that's gotten started to retake this country. You know, we've made some progress, but, you know, it's maybe one step forward, one step back. You know, I've still got a few more minutes, so maybe I'll give a little bit of a good news here. Charlotte, North Carolina, maybe some of you in Charlotte, North Carolina are feeling a little bit of relief because they repealed the transgender law. This transgender law was called the Bathroom Bill, HB2. And it was going to allow people to use whatever bathroom they choose, you know. And hallelujah, Charlotte, North Carolina, they repealed the transgender law, allowing people to just go to whatever bathroom they want to. I guess it's good news that Megyn Kelly found out how to lose the 25 pounds that Fox News had told her that if she didn't, she was going to be fired. You know, that just shows you where the mainstream news media is coming from. You know, these are people like Megyn Kelly are just talking heads. They have no values. They have no morals. They have no moral compass. And they're a pretty face. Mainstream news media knows, if they give you a pretty face, you're gonna pay attention to it. So told her, you know, you either lose 25 pounds or be fired. So she tried Weight Watchers, J. Craig, Atkins, a whole bunch of programs. None of them worked. Finally figured out how to get it off to stay pretty for her audience. Here's another good news. You know, Trump's been meeting with Pentagon and industry officials. Get the cost of the F-35. You know, that F-35 per plane costs $112 million to produce. And the Pentagon is going to purchase 2,443 F-35 fighters. And so, you know, that's some part. He's visiting and trying to brainstorm with people on how to get it down. So I have got 60 more seconds here. I'm going to wrap this up. My friends, I hope you had a good time. I hope you learned something. I hope this was encouraging. And I appreciate you taking the time to be here with me. I know that there were many other things that you could have done tonight, but I appreciate you tuning in. And you have a blessed week. And the Lord bless you and yours. And watch over and protect you. Amen. Good night.